This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report podcast. I am so excited to interview Tony Suarez, who is one of the leaders in the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference and has his own ministry as well. But he gave a powerful prophecy about Cuba. And when I saw the link, I knew I wanted to do not only a podcast, but an article on charismanews.com. And I reached out to Tony, and while he's traveling, we've been able to fit this in. So this happened just a few days ago. I realized that people will listen to it a long time in the future, but I think it's important to document these prophecies, to talk about why the Lord gives them, be able to prove when they actually come about, if they don't come about, to be able to try to understand why or what the Lord was really saying. So stay tuned. You don't want to miss this conversation with Tony Suarez about his prophecy, his amazing prophecy about what God is going to do in Cuba.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Tony, I'm so glad that you fit this in, and we're going to put up the link of the prophecy itself. You did it at a series of meetings that you did in Roanoke, Virginia, and I was surprised. What prompted you to give a prophecy about Cuba? Had you been thinking about or praying about Cuba? Did something lead up to this? Or, you know, when people watch the video, they'll see that you're kind of under a powerful anointing where it was just coming out in English, and then you translated a little bit into Spanish. But tell me about what happened and why.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for having me on the podcast, Steve. We, as you mentioned, we were, you know, of all places, why would God speak about Cuba in Roanoke, Virginia? It wasn't necessarily on my mind. It wasn't anything that I had planned for, prepared for. In full, you know, transparency, is not really something I've been praying about. Earlier that day, I had been with the pastors at lunch, and they introduced me to a friend of theirs that is from Cuba. He's a pastor from Cuba that is literally stranded in the United States. He cannot get back to his family. And we had just some general conversations about his desire to get home to his wife and to his children and to the churches, the church that he pastors and oversees. But That was it. There was no discussion necessarily about the status of the church. And we went into the revival services, and, you know, God bless, many were healed. I mean, we had deaf ears open. We had a lady that had a boot on her leg, two crutches and a boot on her leg. She took it off in the altar. No one told her to take it off. No one took it off of her. She took it off and started leaping and dancing in the altar. I mean, we were having miracle after miracle. And in the midst of that miracle flow of the Holy Spirit, God dropped that word in my heart about Cuba. And there was this, I mean, as you'll watch, or as the viewers will watch or listen when they click on the link, there was a strong anointing of the Holy Spirit that came on me to release that word. I think all of us in the Spirit-filled community are aware that there has been a full demonic attack, an assault against the prophetic move of God. And I think the Lord is, well, we know he's defending his church, but I know, I believe in my spirit that the Lord is causing prophetic words like the one I released about Cuba to come forth to reestablish the integrity of the prophetic for those that are trying to question it and diminish its power. We've come out of a season where we've come out of a season where the seeker sensitive movement had come to prominence, where the Holy Spirit was being relegated to the back room. You didn't want, a lot of pastors were pushing for there not to be any kind of a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Some of this was residue from controversies or chaos from previous revivals or ministries, if you will. But we've come out of that season. Pentecost is on a comeback. Revival is here. And you see, everyone's hungering for Pentecost. I had a Baptist preacher call me last week and ask if he could come to one of our meetings because he's praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So there's been this reemergence of a hunger for the things of God and you know, the Pentecostal move of God, if you will. And I think 2020 came, and I think the enemy took his very best shot through a virus, through racial tension, through political strife. He took his very best shot to try to debacle the church. I think he thought he was going to shut us down. He provoked us. This has misfired on the enemy. And so even with the attack and the assault on trying to silence the true prophets of God, rather than prophets cower away or silence their voice, prophets are being provoked to prophesy like never before and to be bold with their prophecies. I mean, in the prophetic word I gave, and I'll be held accountable if it was of the Lord or not, because the word of the Lord was by this time next year. So by August of 2022, if this is the word of the Lord, there will be a significant change. Something strong, something big is going to happen in Cuba that will confirm this word, and we'll know that this was the word of the Lord. And beyond whatever God is about to do in Cuba, the second thing that I believe God is going to do is that someone's faith that was that has been in question, or someone that's been maybe doubting the move of the Lord and the gifts of the Spirit, when they see the word come to pass, it'll reignite the fire that they have for the things of the Spirit and cause them to trust, not doubt the prophets.
Tony, I think your prophecy is so important. I want my podcast listeners who may not be able to click on the link and watch it, I'm going to play the prophecy in full now.
I don't say thus saith the Lord if the Lord does not say it, but thus saith the Lord. By this time next year, I will have done a great work in the island of Cuba. I will move on behalf of the church. I will move on behalf of the people. I will move on behalf of the land. For I, the lion of the tribe of Judah, have seen a hyena called Castro raise its ugly head decade after decade. But I, the Lord, say, enough is enough. I will cleanse your capital. I will cleanse your government. And I, the Lord, will set your people free. Do the work. The Cuban people will not say Donald, Donald, Donald. They will not say Joe, Joe, Joe. They will say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus. For that island will serve the Lord. El Señor dice, he visto la opresión, he visto los ataques, he visto como mi pueblo en Cuba sufre. Y el Señor dice, ya basta, ya no voy a permitir que esto continúe en la isla de Cuba. Y el Señor dice, me estoy levantando como el león de la tribu de Judá y voy a ruir victoria, voy a ruir liberación, porque en esta temporada voy a liberar a mi pueblo. Y el pueblo no dará la gloria a Donald, el pueblo no dará la gloria a Joe, el pueblo dirá la gloria pertenece a Jesucristo de Nazaret. Somebody praise God.
Tony, I want you to interpret what people just heard and what you believe the Lord was saying and why he spoke it to you.
Well, again, I don't know exactly why the Lord gave me that specific word, but I know that when there's a move of the Holy Spirit, I think this is important for every spirit-filled believer to remember that we sometimes, when the Holy Spirit is on us, when the anointing is on us, we pray mysteries. We pray things that we're praying for issues that we don't even know of. The Holy Spirit makes intercession through us, and I think on that Saturday service, it was just, I mean, it came. There was a clarity in the spirit for words of wisdom, words of knowledge that came forward for others. And that word came forward for Cuba. Now, my interpretation of the word, what I prophesied that Saturday, and even when I said it, I opened that prophetic word by saying, I don't say thus saith the Lord unless he said it. And I said, thus saith the Lord. So what I'm saying right now is my interpretation of what the Lord said Saturday. But I do believe there is a change coming to their government. I believe, and again, this is my opinion. I'm not prophesying this part, but I think we're going to read of another Castro funeral. I think the Lord is going to wipe the Castro family away, any residue or any other family member. I think we're going to see the demise of the Castro family. I think they're going to be removed from all kinds of leadership in Cuba. I believe that a new government is going to arise. And when that government arises, they will give the glory to God. Something that I still can hear in my head from that prophecy is that when this comes to pass, the people of Cuba will not shout the name Donald, 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 nor will they say Joe, Joe, Joe. They will say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. This is a sovereign act of God. And even these Cuban people who have been oppressed decade after decade in their faith are going to have a witness that Jesus did this for them, that the same God that freed the Israelites from the oppressive regime of the Egyptians is going to do the same for them. And I think we're going to see them worshiping and praising God in the streets, giving the glory and the honor to our God, who is also their God.
Boy, that's exciting. And that's a message that we need to see. And, you know, you talk about the prophetic. That is something that is known in certain Christian circles, not even all Christian circles. I mean, there are a lot of, you know, very sincere Christians, liberal or conservative, who think that it ended with the apostles. In Pentecostal circles, you know, only in the last few decades has the prophetic been identified as such with that kind of terminology. And there are a number of leaders around the country, you know, in fact, a couple who died in the last couple of years, such as Kim Clement and John Paul Jackson, both of whom were personal friends. You know, they were very much, you know, identified as such. And where I'm going with this is that when the list of prophetic voices are mentioned, you know, forgive me for saying it this way, but Tony Suarez's name does not come up. So you may minister a lot behind the scenes as this, and you know you're one of my very best friends, and I love you dearly. So this is not critical in any way, but you know you're not known as a big name prophet, and so why do you think God gave you this word at this time? And you know, maybe I can answer that myself by saying, you know, God is no respecter of persons, and maybe the prophetic, really, doesn't the Bible say your sons and daughters shall prophesy? Maybe that's the point. Maybe I should have talked to you about this before we started the podcast. But I think it's an important question, and I just want to hear your response.
Well, I'm going to answer it, and hopefully there'll be grace with the listeners that no one will think it's self-serving. I'm answering it because Steve asked it, right? I was raised in Pentecost. You know, in a strong Pentecostal, tongue-talking, you know, fire-baptized kind of a church. But when I was 17 years old, I was introduced to prophetic ministry, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, and I was hooked. I was hungry. I sought after it. My mentor, his name is Morton Bustard. He comes from a family of prophets, if you will. I learned really just being with him, but it's not really what I've been known for. I've been, you know, preaching and praying for the sick. And again, I don't mean that in a self-serving way, but that's more what my ministry has been known for. But I went to preach for Hank Kuhneman earlier this year. And Hank told me, and again, I consider Hank to be one of the chief prophets in the world right now.
Yeah, he really
and
is.
He really is. And Hank, you know, well, and a little bit of a sidebar here. In this last season, you know, one of the cliche terms that I hear a lot of people say is, I stand with the prophets, or I believe the prophets. You know, there isn't a prophetic club, right? And that's a little sarcasm. That's not like there's a membership card you get and you're in the prophets club. So what I've told people is I stand with the prophets that have credibility and credibility with me. 12 years ago, I had I did a transition in ministry, and Hank Kuhneman spoke a prophetic word to me 12 years ago. When I had nothing, I had turned over the pastorate of my church, and I didn't know what was next. I'd never met Hank Kuhneman, didn't know a thing about him. Our friend Bishop Ann Jimenez had invited me to a service, said we're going to have these prophets. Hank Kuhneman called me out and gave me the word of the Lord. And the word was, my son, you better get ready to run, run, run like you've never run before. You thought you were busy. You've never been busy like I'm about to make you busy. Buy an iPad because I'm about to fill up your calendar. You'll run through this nation and you'll run to the nations. That was 12 years ago. 12 years ago, from that day till now, I've flown 3 million miles preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. When my first wife passed away, Hank Kuhneman called and he said, in the second year, you'll be a happy man. In the third year, you'll be a dancing man. In the fourth year, you'll be a man with a new land. Well, in the second year, I met Gina. In the third year, I married Gina. In the fourth year, I moved to Tennessee. When I had 5 different job offers to move to the West Coast, Hank Kuhneman randomly called me and said, Tony, I felt to call you this morning and tell you, you don't belong where the sun sets. You belong where the sun rises. So that man has credibility in my life. Because those aren't words that you have to, stretch. I mean, they're clear, they're defined words. And so I have a great deal of respect for Hank. I was really honored when he invited me to preach for him this year. And I went to preach for him and he told me in that service that there was a prophetic mantle that was coming on me. He said I would be an emerging prophet. He said, you're going to see things and hear things like you have never heard and seen them before. And it happened, Steve. I mean, in fact, in his service, the Lord gave me a word about hyenas and about the spirit of the age that we're living in right now. That one of the, we hear a lot about the spirit of Jezebel and different attacks. One of the spirits that the Lord's helped me to identify in the last 90 days is the spirit of hyena that has risen up. It's a spirit of mockery. It's a spirit of thievery. And hyenas strategically position themselves to steal and antagonize lions. God gave me that word standing in the altar about to take Hank Kuhneman's, the pulpit at Hank Kuhneman's church. And in the prophecy about Cuba, God said there is a hyena named Castro that's raised his head, but I will stand for it no longer. Not saying that verbatim, but I remember that even in the prophecy, the Lord called Castro a hyena. They have made mockery of the things of God. They have made a mockery of God. But I hear God say strongly, even now on this podcast, I hear God saying enough is enough. He's not going to be mocked any longer. He's coming like Isaiah, the prophecy of Isaiah 63, or as the narrative of Isaiah 63, he's coming out of the land of Edom. That's a land of destruction, a land of loss, a land of sorrow. He's coming out and he's coming out of victor. And God says, I'll fight the battle all by myself if I have to, but I'm no longer going to allow my children to live in oppression. And I think God has seen what's happened on the land. Not I think, I know he has seen the mockery of his church. He has seen the hurt that we've gone through in this season. And I hear heaven say, enough is enough. So anyhow, I'm getting on a tangent there, but really that prophetic, and forgive me for that, but the new, I guess, if you want to call it a new thing that God's been doing with me, it's ever since I was with the Kuhnemans earlier this year that God has just kind of amplified that platform maybe and given me these words. And I've felt the necessity to post them, not for it's not for self-promotion, but if we don't push back against the attack on the prophetic, those mockers will have their day. And so the only way I know to push back is to continue to prophesy and to be bold so that our word is known and heard. And again, when it comes to pass, our children, which are the ones I'm the most worried about, our children will have their evidence. They'll have their moment in their generation where they'll see the prophetic come alive for them. And rather than doubt the faith, they'll have the faith.
Well, good for you. I'm just so proud that you say this. And of course, I've watched your ministry develop over the years. And it's obvious that God is raising you up for such a time as this. And I believe that putting things on the record is important. When you're in a setting where we say there's an anointing, I think sometimes it's almost kind of a cliche, or that it's just sort of a superficial anointing where we feel goosebumps, which is wonderful to be in God's presence and experience that. But the anointing is much, much more than that. Having to do with the prophetic, you know, being a Christian journalist, I've seen it all.
Right.
My mentor, Jamie Buckingham, died in 1992, too young. And the very last conversation I had with him, not really knowing how close to death he was to discuss how to deal with a prophetic ministry that was emerging up north. He's since kind of fallen off the radar screen, but it was, you know, on one hand, it looked like he had the touch of God. On the other hand, he was charging like $500 for one prophecy and $300 for another prophecy, et cetera, et cetera. And he was creating a lot of division. And it's been so long, I don't remember everything, but I think he wanted us to do a big story on his ministry, which is a bad sign right there. And we weren't wanting to do it. And he was kicking up a lot of sand. And I didn't know what to do. And so I called Jamie. But because of when it was, I have very clear recollection. Well, you know, people like that are kind of on the fringes. And because we have freedom of religion in this country, they can kind of exist. But they are not accepted by, you know, more the mainstream. Another time, one of our authors wrote a book called Thus Saith the Lord. Well, it's John Bevere. The book's out there. You can read it. And John has a very respected ministry, but he went to a lot of charismatic churches. And in one instance, the pastor leaned over and said, "Why don't you give a prophetic word this morning to someone here? It'll increase the audience tonight." And, you know, maybe the guy was well-meaning, but it really kind of turned John off. And he talked about people that prophesy babies and all this kind of stuff. And he says, "You need to be really careful with saying, 'Thus saith the Lord.'" And it was a very good book. It's still a very good book. It's still selling all these years later. And I felt it was important to publish. And I got in a lot of hot water. There are a lot of, you know, prophetic ministries that thought that we were attacking them. And I said, "No, I think what he says is true." Well, I heard later that there was a invitation-only kind of behind-the-scenes meeting where the prophets got together and discussed what John said. And I was never at the meeting, but I had some, private conversations. And I said, "Look, I know you got, you know, there are people who have made a small industry of attacking prophets, charismatics, you know, they just do. They attack they just look for anything." Jim Baker just went through that a year ago over this thing about COVID, where they attacked him saying he was saying there was a cure for COVID. This was very, very early where we didn't even know hardly what COVID was. He did not say that. He said, "If you have a strong immunity system, you can probably fight off sickness more." And he sold a product, which he'd sold for years and which you can buy right now down at Walmart. But, you know, somehow they were saying he did snake oil. These people were just waiting for anything. They made a much bigger deal. He's just settled all that. But I'm just saying there's a small industry of people who do that. And I said to these prophets, I said, "John is not in that category." He said he is very sincere. He's saying that something he needs to say. And, you know, prophets need to be aware that people are listening. Hello. And
And you can really damage somebody's faith. You know, again, as someone who's lived through, my fair share of tragedy, you know, if you will. I mean, I buried my father, and then 15 months later, I buried my first wife. Steve, I never got a prophetic word that said she was going to die. I got a lot of well-meaning words from people saying she was going to live. Now, I only bring that up to say this. I could have doubted the prophetic, but I chose to understand that well-meaning people were speaking words of faith. And that's something that my mentors taught me early on. You know, like I mentioned Morton Bestard earlier, he said, "Don't ever say, 'Thus saith the Lord,' if he hasn't said, because you know, what are you going to do? You know, you can say, I think he said, here's what you do. If you're unsure, say, this is what I think I heard the Lord say. This is what I feel. Because you can say, well, I thought wrong or I felt wrong, but be very selective, very careful saying the Lord says, or thus saith the Lord. And I think another important thing for, and this applies to all of us as believers, but even in the prophetic ministry, you have to have accountability and a covering. I mean, Pastor Sam Rodriguez I jokingly say he's my fivefold ministry. He's my apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher, and my nutritionist. I mean, if Pastor Sam called me today and said, Tony, pull that prophecy down, it's going to disappear because I'm accountable. I think every one of us needs to remember that and the importance of being accountable and having other voices in our life. And I think the ministries that have gone, that go off the hinges, most of them, they forsook their covering. There isn't someone that's accountable. There isn't somebody that can say, you got to rein that in. I think it does make a difference. And again, I don't say that in some kind of self-serving, braggy way, but I got accountability in my life. I wouldn't have posted it if they wouldn't have heard it first.
Wow. You know, I think what you're saying is so important. I'm glad we had this conversation. We probably need to revisit this at some point in the future because I think it's important. I will mention that my first book on Donald Trump was called God and Donald Trump, and I was a big supporter of his in the election, which probably comes as no surprise.
Me too.
And, you know, there are prophets saying that he would win against all odds. I mean, on election day, people were saying there's like no way. And,
right.
You know, long story short, I read three books that came out on Donald Trump, including one by Newt Gingrich, one by Doug Weed, one by Roger Stone, just because I was interested in it. None of them really mentioned the evangelical role in that very pivotal role in that election, nor did they mention the prophecies. And I felt this was an untold story. In fact, I had publicized wide and far the prophecies on our news site, charismanews.com, and we did a special issue of Charisma on the election. So Lance Wallnau, Frankamedia, listen, we put it out there, and I remember thinking, man, we're going to be embarrassed if, you know, this doesn't happen. But I thought, you know what? I believe that they're people of integrity, and I want to put it on the record. I just feel maybe that's because I have a, you know, background as a journalist. And that book was really to say, look, is it possible that God could raise up a leader that isn't perfect? Like, did he ever do that in the Bible? You know, and what is God's plans and purposes while bringing up someone like Donald Trump? Well, I think the answer is to be a disruptor. A lot of the same prophets said that he'd win two terms. You know, I've decided that it's not my job to defend him or to beat that drum, but I will express my opinion. I think he did win. I think the election was stolen. But again, I can't prove that. I'm expressing my opinion. And I
right.
just said,
and there's another chapter, forgive me for interrupting you, there's another chapter to be written because no one knows what's about to happen in 2024. And if he is reelected, at that point, the 47th president of the United States, those prophets are going to be their credibility. I hate to even say it that way, that their credibility will be redeemed, but they'll be proven that they were prophets, that they were true prophets of God. I don't like what happened last year. I don't think we have all the answers. I don't know everything that happened, but you and I were at the same news network that night, and we both left. We both went to our hotels, our respective hotels, thinking that Donald Trump had won. And I wake up at 5 in the morning to catch a flight, and everything changed. There's something fishy. I still think, you know, I don't know what, but something fishy happened. But if he wins this next election and the way things are going, good Lord. I mean, here we are 20 years. We're just weeks away from the 20th anniversary of 9/11. And what's the headline on every news, major news outlet, the Taliban in Afghanistan. I mean, the Taliban are taking over Afghanistan again. We're having to send the military back to get American citizens out of there. I mean, people are saying that it's the worst American tragedy since the of that nature since the fall of Saigon. I mean, goodness. I mean, the border, my God, 200,000+. And again, I'm pro immigration reform, but I'm pro border security. I mean, there are things. I mean, the country's just falling apart. And I think Trump just tweeted out today through his he can't tweet himself, but through his communications director, they put a tweet out there today or a press statement. Do you miss me yet? And the answer is yes, sir. I've missed you for many, many, many months. But when and if he's reelected or whoever, you know, God raises up and, you know, has, I think Trump's, if Trump doesn't run, his endorsement is going to be very important in that next cycle. I think, and again, I'm not prophesying, but I'm strongly predicting Joe Biden is a one-term president, and we will wish that these 4 years never happened.
I agree with you, and that's why I wrote my new book, God and Cancel Culture. We don't have time to talk about it now, but people can buy it on stevestrangbooks.com. So, Tony, thank you so much for being on my podcast. Tell people how they can connect with you to find out about more about you and your ministry.
Well, thank you, Steve. They can go to tonysuarez.com or revivalmakers.org or find us on social media.
And for those who hear this podcast, share this with friends. We'll do an article about the prophecy about Cuba on Charisma News. We're going to make a big deal about it. Share that when it comes out, very close when this podcast comes out. And tune in again tomorrow for another episode of The Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Stephen Strang. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.